This is the Human Rights 2020s podcast from the Human Rights Consortium Scotland. This episode is the second in a series of four recordings taken from an event called What Went Wrong? COVID-19, Accountability and Building Back Better, held on the 17th of May 2021. This is a recording of a presentation made by Naomi McAuliffe, Programme Director for Amnesty International in Scotland.
It has been an extraordinary time. The coronavirus pandemic has obviously had a devastating impact across the world, and not just in terms of the deaths, the infections, the hospitalisation and the ongoing health problems that people are suffering from now, but also that by shutting down large parts of the economy, closing schools, suspending vital services that so many people depend on, and forcing people to stay at home, which separated families, friends and support networks for on and off for over a year now, has created a human rights crisis. Now, it's definitely legitimate for the state to take on extraordinary powers at a time of crisis such as pandemic or war. However, that doesn't remove all human rights protections and it doesn't cancel accountability. So this is why Amnesty has been working with others in Scotland and across the UK to call for accountability via a comprehensive public inquiry, which is something that Adam touched on there. But why, and the justification and the arguments for this, is what I'm going to be focusing on in what I'm talking about today. So as we all know, and we've all heard the statistics, UK has one of the highest death rates from COVID-19 in Europe. And questions have been raised, and Adam listed a whole long list of what we should be looking at. And it's everything from returning patients from hospitals to care homes and the ongoing treatment of people in care homes are being prevented from seeing loved ones. It includes the availability of PPE for essential workers, the removal of social care support, leaving even more people to become full-time and unpaid carers, the track and trace app system, treatment of students in university accommodation, and the confusing messaging and constant rush changes to regulations. We'll be hearing later again things like prisoners in effect being kept in solitary confinement, and the police response to the coronavirus, including things around assemblies, whether they're protests or football related. And of course, we've seen all of these within Scotland just within the last couple of days. Now, this list goes on and they need to be examined. The truth needs to be established and actions taken and lessons learned, not only because of what's happened previously, what's happening right now, but also what we see on the horizon coming up as well, including vaccine passports, not only for holidays, but potentially for accessing businesses or events, continuing digital exclusion and issues to do with changes to how we work. Many organisations are taking the decision to have permanent remote working, and that will create an even widening divide between different types of work and the risks associated with that. So the UK and the Scottish governments made decisions every day during the pandemic that dramatically affected everyone's lives. And it's important that those decisions are examined. Not only do ministers and other decision makers need to be accountable for the unprecedented powers, but we also need to learn the lessons for the future and indeed the present right now. Few of us expected this pandemic to last this long, although understandably rushed emergency decisions were made at the beginning. As soon as it became apparent that lockdowns were to become a way of life, those decisions needed to be reviewed with an understanding of the devastating and unequal impact they were having on so many people. Now, certainly when it comes to a public inquiry, some will and have argued that now is not the time. And indeed, Boris Johnson doesn't believe the time is for at least another 6 months. And it is true that we do always have to be conscious of the time, money and resource that needs to be put into inquiries of this kind. But we do need to find out what went wrong in order to rectify them as soon as possible. A year on, we're still living in lockdown, and any Glaswegians or anyone from Murray right now in the audience will be particularly keenly feeling this today. But even with a vaccine, it's likely that we're going to be living with restrictions for a long time. Even if COVID-19 is eradicated, there are other crises on the horizon in the future, and we've got a lot that we can learn right now. So this is why we joined with organisations across civil society in Scotland to write to the First Minister at the beginning of the year, asking when a public inquiry is going to get going. This is something that she's already agreed to. We've also joined with over 70 organisations calling for a public inquiry at Westminster, and in Northern Ireland we've joined with others to call for a public inquiry specifically into care homes there. So organisations representing health and social care, frontline workers, disabled people, people living in poverty, students, children and young people, women's rights, migrant rights and many more have seen firsthand the unequal impact that the pandemic has had and the urgent needs to address these problems now and build back better. During the election campaign, Nicola Sturgeon reiterated that she was committed to a full public inquiry starting later this year. But she said that she preferred to have a four-nation inquiry. The SNP election manifesto says that there should be a person-centred public inquiry and that should hear from those who have lost loved ones to the virus. Now, the concern here is that each nation of the UK will drag their feet until it becomes politically untenable to delay any further. This is the kind of levelling down approach to accountability, and we can't let any administration within the UK to get away with it. What we as civil society organisations in Scotland have called for is an inquiry to conduct investigation in interim phases to facilitate the expedited publication of findings into specific areas of concern before the completion of the entire inquiry. So while there may be areas of concern that are UK-wide, such as potentially PPE procurement, issues such as education or care homes are completely devolved, and there's absolutely no reason why in Scotland we would need to wait for a Westminster sanctioned public inquiry for us to get started on areas that are completely within our remit and power of the Scottish Government and Scottish public authorities. That's just an example. It's not a suggestion of what should be prioritised, but it's just to kind of demonstrate that we can get going right now on some issues. The impacts of government decisions are not felt equally by everyone. It's far easier for someone to self-isolate if they live in a large house with a garden, they've got internet access and don't live alone. If schools are closed, we know that this is having a greater impact on women who take on the majority of homeschooling and childcare, which in turn affects their work and income. Black, Asian, minority ethnic people have been at particular risk of contracting COVID and dying from it. People with disabilities and care needs have felt abandoned and isolated, and decision making must consider this disproportionate impact and outcomes when making the decisions. And as unexpected impacts become apparent, changes and adaptations need to be made straight away. So as already mentioned, even if COVID-19 is eradicated, there are other crises in the future and we need to learn from them. And one of those crises is just as likely to be another pandemic. In the last two decades, we've seen SARS, we've seen H1N1 bird flu, swine flu, and now COVID. And we're going to continue to be in a very globalised world with highly densely populated areas. So planning for the next pandemic is not a useless thing to do. It's a very sensible thing for us to be thinking about. And as with most disaster planning shows us, that it's about changing our behaviours, our processes, our decision making, and our infrastructure in the non-disaster times to lessen the impact when the inevitable happens. So Adam kind of gave us a challenge there as a human rights community to set a vision for how human rights fit into this pandemic and how it fits into building back better. And in Scotland, we've got a real opportunity to do this. So from COVID-19, building back better means changing our behaviours, our processes and decision-making to address the pre-existing inequalities there and that are there and are being laid bare by this pandemic. And certainly for us, this means looking at where changes to the law to protect human rights can be strengthened. And we already have these proposals on the table to enshrine economic, social and cultural rights, as well as the rights of persons with disabilities, women and girls, people of colour, the rights of LGBT and older people into law in Scotland. The learning from this pandemic is vital to ensuring that that legislation to incorporate multiple human rights treaties into Scots law actually works. So public bodies, as well as ministers, need to understand their obligations. They need to understand what human rights-based decision-making is, how it works, understanding and using monitoring and accountability mechanisms to improve their work and impact. Because without that, changes to the law will be meaningless. So finally, accountability isn't an afterthought. It's not an added extra if or when the government of the UK can get around to it. It's a fundamental principle to making human rights real. And if people already experiencing the greatest degree of inequality have been bearing the brunt of the pandemic, then it is only through accountability that we can even begin to rectify that and have any chance of moving on from what has been an extraordinarily difficult time. So today we're going to be hearing from many people describing what went wrong and what impact decisions had on them and the people they work with. And what I hope everyone keeps in the backs of their minds is how we're going to achieve accountability for these people. How are we going to ensure that these voices are part of a people-centred inquiry? And how we move from hearing and understanding the horrors of this pandemic to achieving justice for those who have died and whose lives have been massively adversely impacted?
Thank you for listening to the Human Rights 2020s podcast. For more information about our work as Scotland's civil society network for the protection and promotion of human rights, please visit our website at www.hrcscotland.org or follow us on Twitter at @HRCScotland. Thank you.